Good. Thank you for coming to the session. As the title says, we're going to talk about Windows RT. So for those of you who are not sure about what Windows RT means, so this is what we used to call as Windows on ARM, or WOA. So Windows running on ARM chip. So in this session, we're going to talk about basically two things. One is, so basically, what is Windows RT? So basically, we're going to talk about the capabilities of Windows RT, especially it is in the business context, because you're a business organization. So you care about how, you know, what it means for Windows RT, for your organization. And the second topic we're going to cover is that how you, especially as an IT, should evaluate or assess Windows RT in your organization. So those are the two topics we can cover. Oh, by the way, my name is Hiroshi Sakakibara. I am a senior product manager working on the Windows client marketing team. So my focus area is the basically Windows 8 messaging and strategy for the enterprise audience. And then one of my responsibilities include Windows RT. And I have a co-presenter who will be focusing on the manageability of the Windows RT as well as demo. Mark.
Hi, my name is Mark Florida. I'm a program manager on the Configuration Manager product as part of System Center. Thanks for coming out and attending the session.
Cool. So are you ready? Let's get started. So first of all, let me quickly talk about the situation or the context that is surrounding Windows, as well as you. So which is the companion devices or consumer devices? These devices are pervasive these days, whether Windows-based tablet or iPad or Android devices, they are everywhere. Just out of curiosity, how many of you own these devices? Windows tablet, iPad, Android? Wow, this is amazing, almost everybody. Okay, so you know the benefits, right? Long battery life, or you know, new form factor, or cloud-connected apps, instant on user experience, and blah blah blah. Basically, I think it's a great trend for consumers. But whenever we talk to the IT pro or IT department, we get a mixed response, right? Because your employees want to bring these devices to our corporate network. And then you have a concern around how to secure these devices, how to manage these devices. So then one of the biggest impact that is bringing to your organization is BYOD, which is the acronym of bring your own device. So as an IT, how to secure these devices while improving the end user productivity? That's a big topic. But it's in a way, it's a reactive mode, right? How to embrace those devices, that's a reactive thing. And then what we are hearing from customers these days is more about proactive movement, which is how the organization can accommodate or adapt these consumer devices for vertical new scenarios. So these are the two main impact that is generated by the consumer devices. And let's switch gear to talk about the car. You might be wondering, hey, Hiroshi, why are you talking about car? I came to the computing devising session. So let me tell you why. Because as the industry matures, the people have more choices, right? And then I'm not a scientist, or I'm not a fortune teller, so I'm not sure the impact of these devices in the long term, but maybe it would be good to take a look at the other industry, which is more mature, such as cars. So when it comes to the selecting cars, we have multiple choices, right? And then you can argue that there's one continuum that ranges from a general use to like a specialized use. So people have multiple cars, and one of which could be general purpose, such as for commuting, for weekend shopping, or you know, short trips, et cetera. At the same time, people have specialized cars, such as sports cars for you know, fast acceleration and speed, or electric car or fun car. Let me give you my example. So I have two cars. The one is the Lexus RX 330. I love that car because it's smooth, and then it gives me a large capacity, and then I feel safe I'm driving, and then it doesn't break. The maintenance cost is super low. The other car I have is Jeep Wrangler, which is totally different from the Lexus. I like to go off-road, and then I take off the soft top, and then enjoy the sunshine, and also the bumpy ride. The key message here is that my expectation toward these cars are quite different. In other words, I wouldn't expect fuel economy in Jeep Wrangler. I wouldn't expect the smooth ride or large capacity in Jeep. In other words, the vice versa, I wouldn't expect the fun or ruggedized features or off-road capabilities in Lexus. They're just different. And then I'm totally and equally satisfied with those vehicles. So let me get back to the computing device topic. So the reason why I talk about the car is that similar thing is happening. So you can have, in a sense, you have multiple devices ranging from general use case to the specialized use case. And then you can argue that maybe I could draw this chart maybe 5 years ago, right? There are a bunch of devices out there 5 years ago. But my point is that maybe in the past, the market size around general use was very big, and then specialized use case was quite small in the past. But now, as you raise your hand, many people have a specialized use case, and then the consumer devices. So these markets are getting much, much bigger. So stepping back, as a Microsoft, one of the key goals is to provide the great Windows experience on any device. So given that x86 has been quite, good at addressing the generic use case or general use case, one of the key missions or key things that we considered when we designed Windows RT device is to address the specialized use case. So that's the genesis of how we decided to build Windows RT devices from the get-go. And one thing I would like to clarify is that this is the kind of guideline. It's not a scientifically rigorously tested kind of the segmentation, because the Windows RT can use for the generic use as well. And then many of the x86 device can be used for specialized use as well. So it's not a, the super distinct or super, boundary is super clear. Rather, you can understand that Windows RT in general can be positioned for the specialized use case, and x86 can be, positioned for the general use case. So let's talk about the Windows RT. So what it is. So as I explained, Windows RT runs on the ARM processor. And then they will be basically three distinct benefits around that. The first is long battery life. So the ARM does not consume a lot of power, so it helps OEMs to build the device with long battery life. And also, it enables OEM partners to build the new form factor, sleek and a thin and light form factor, which is one of the elements of the Windows RT device. And also, going back to the battery topic, I would like to clarify that Windows RT, you don't turn off the device anymore. So you don't have the power state such as hibernate or sleep anymore. Rather, we have a newly designed power state called connected standby. So it's like your mobile phone. You don't shut down your mobile phone, right? How many of you shut down your phone every day? Or one, maybe two? Okay. Maybe for the reboot to, update the OS, et cetera. But majority of you do not turn off the mobile phone. Why? You don't have to think about hibernate, right? Basically, the mobile phone can take care of the power consumption on behalf of you. So Windows RT is the same. So Windows RT dynamically adjusts the power consumption. It also always seeks the opportunity to reduce the power consumption of the unused parts of the system. So that's why it enables you to have a long battery life. So that's a design principle. Let's talk about the high quality and predictable experience over time. I just wanted to emphasize the word over time. Our goal of Windows RT is to provide the pristine and clean consumer experience. So the consumer experience would be the experience should be out of the box, really fast, and then continues to be fast. That's our design goal. So in order to do that, what we did was to have a very close collaboration with our partners, including OEM partners or silicon partners. So we're really, really closely working together to build the hardware, firmware, and also the Windows RT software components together. So that's our how we are collaborating with the partners. And also given this goal, we have a different philosophy around servicing. When it comes to servicing the Windows RT components, whether it's a firmware or drivers or OS components, those will be served through Microsoft Update or Windows Update. And also the servicing the application would be different too. So whether the application's coming from Microsoft or a third party, it's gonna use the Windows Store. It's a new app store from Microsoft. So given that the Windows RT is going to provide a distinct consumer experience, at the same time, it is Windows. It is a new family of Windows. So it has a high degree of commonality and also the shared code with Windows 8. So what I mean by that is, if you take a look at the Windows RT device and take the experience, you wouldn't see the difference. The login screen is the same, and then we will launch the application the same way, and you access to the Windows Store the same way, exactly the same. And also, it has a desktop mode. So as necessary, you can run Office, or you can go to the control panel, and then Windows Explorer is there, so you can manage files, move the files, connect it to the USB storage, and so forth. Now, one of the biggest difference, though, is that, as you might know, x86-based desktop apps won't run on Windows RT. Many people ask me, why is that? Why he or she? The reason is that, again, going back to the clean and pristine experience. So in order to achieve long battery life and then also the high quality over time, we decided to have a trade-off. So that's the positioning of Windows RT device. And also the Windows 8 apps. You can run Windows 8 apps both on an x86 system and Windows RT device. This is a great news for organizations who want to develop the Windows 8-based applications. I was standing at the booth yesterday, and I talked to a lot of people, and then I was pleasantly surprised to see that many people are considering and then started developing Windows 8 apps on Windows 8 on x86. And the good news is here is that once you develop the applications, and then it works on the Windows, so once you develop the applications for Windows 8, x86, it's gonna run on Windows RT as well. Also the peripherals. So one of the goals is to create make a Windows RT as the most compatible ARM system in the world. In order to do that, our strategy is to use the standardized protocols, also the class drivers. So the Windows RT includes the class drivers, so the out of the box, it should work with your mouse, keyboard, or USB storage, or printers. In fact, I brought the Windows RT device today, and then in order to do the demo, I plug in the USB key for file transferring, and also the keyboard, mouse, and a lot of peripherals. But it's working well because it has a class driver. So what it means for your business. So as I mentioned, this is a consumer device. So our goal is to provide a great experience. So this is more about the orange tiles or orange sections. At the same time, as an organization, especially from IT pros' point of view, you might be wondering, so what's the management story? What's the security? right? So we're going to focus on the blue tiles for the rest of the session. But I just wanted to clarify that maybe you would imagine by, you know, connectivity or security management might be a little bit different for the Windows RT. So please remember the example that I used for the car. So the people's expectation can be different, and then also the experience will be different. As a result, the notion of the manageability or security or connectivity can be a little bit different. So I would like you to understand the business capabilities that Windows RT can provide, and then let you decide, okay, this is great for our organization, or maybe we can still using x86 system. So it's up to you, and it's up to your scenarios. Sounds good? So let's talk about the orange portion, so user experience quite a little bit. So I covered a lot of things already, but I just wanted to emphasize a couple of things. The first is the security component. So of course, consumer cares about the security, but also the enterprise, business organizations really care about the security, right? And then Windows RT, by default, is secure because it is equipped with the TPM chip, firmware-based TPM chip, as well as UEFI. That's something I'd like to emphasize. And also the other things, the other element I would like to emphasize is the app development. As I quickly mentioned, you can develop apps and then it's gonna work on both x86 and then Windows RT. And then in order to do so, enterprise developers can use their familiar development language or tools, whether it's C, C#, C++, or XML, or VB, HTML5, JavaScript, it doesn't matter. So you can choose whatever languages you're comfortable with or familiar with, and then those Windows apps just run on Windows RT. And also, as an IT, not only the development, but also the management of the software would be something you might be interested in. And for the consumer-focused on the Windows 8 apps, of course, people can use Windows Store. And also, as an IT, you have the option to distribute and manage the internally developed applications through site loading. Also, the last component. So let me quickly talk about the productivity and personal life. As I quickly mentioned, Office would be included, pre-installed in Windows RT. What would be included would be Office 15. So this is a new version of the Office, the code name of the version of the Office. And specifically, several components would be included: Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote. And then this is not just the recompilations or porting of the x86-based Office products. Rather, it's re-architected for power and also the touch experience. And then the goal is to provide the consistent experience as well as fidelity with the x86-based Office systems. On top of the Office, Windows RT includes Inbox Mail, so which is going to work perfectly with the Exchange Server, Hotmail, or other email accounts. The other things I would like to mention is the touch experience as well as mouse and keyboard. So whenever I talk to the enterprise customers, of course they care about the touch, but also you are equally concerned about whether keyboard and mouse works. And the answer is yes. Windows RT natively supports keyboard and the mouse, which is really important for the productivity scenario. The last thing I would like to emphasize on this slide is multiple user accounts. With Windows RT, you can set up the multiple user accounts so that you can share the same device with other people, which would be really critical for the free seating environment or the corporate scenarios that requires multiple user accounts. Maybe let's switch gear right now and then show the Windows RT experience, the experience would be. So this is the lock-in screen of the Windows RT, exactly the same as Windows 8. And then it doesn't show right now, but if you have a calendar appointment, you will see that on the lock screen. And if you miss some emails or IMs, you will see the icon that that said that, hey, you're missing like 5 emails so far or 3 IMs so far. So even before you log into the system, you have a glimpse of the information. And then in order to get into the system, what you need to do is just swipe your finger from the bottom. And here's a login screen. By the way, how many of you have seen Windows 8 so far? All of them. OK. How many of you are running Windows 8 so far? OK, like 1/3. OK, got it. But so for those who know or own the Windows, running Windows 8, you can compare your experience versus Windows RT. So far, exactly the same, right? And then it enables picture password as well. And then as an IT, you have the option to implement alphanumeric password as well. And then for this one, I'm using the picture passwords as like this. So tap the smaller guys of the, and then larger guys, and like this. So this shows one of the innovation of the Windows, right? So there's a really geeky blog from the Microsoft, the engineers, sorry to call it geeky, but about how secure it would be compared with the alphanumeric password. Actually, the picture password is really secure in theory, but it can be vulnerable to what we call shoulder surfing. So if you're somebody watching, log into the screen, now you know how to log into my Windows RT screen, right? So anyway, but you have the option to implement alphanumeric password as well. So here's the start menu, exactly the same as Windows 8. And then you can, swipe your finger and go left and not right. And let's open some of the applications, for instance. Weather apps works perfectly. And then it would be quite interactive. You can check for instance, temperature by month or rainfall by month. And then let's switch gear to the other application. So as you might know, you will see a lot of options such as search or share or device or settings. Just swipe your finger from the right edge. And then I want to go back to start. Let's open the other applications as well. Let's open the finance application. It's quite immersive. And again, it's quite interactive. In order to switch applications, what you need to do is, as you do on the Windows 8, just swipe your finger from the left so that you can switch applications like this. And then also, you have a desktop as well. As I talked, the Internet Explorer on the desktop is working perfectly. And also, I can use a mouse and keyboard when it comes to desktop. For instance, if you want to change the settings, you can right-click. You can access to the control panel. Or you can open the folder. And you can manage the multiple files like this. So far, have you seen the difference versus Windows 8? Maybe not. I can't tell the difference. Maybe the only way you can tell would be going to the computer. By the way, this has the ribbon view, so this is new enhancements in Windows 8. And going to the system properties. Now you know that this is running Windows RT software. And also the other case you might notice the difference would be when you install the desktop application, then you will figure out that, okay, there's a difference. But other than that, it's quite consistent with the experience with Windows 8. And also, when it comes to the user experience, I'd like to emphasize that using the mouse keyboard is great because, for instance, when you want to switch application, just hover the mouse to the left corner, and then you can switch application like this. Or if you hover the mouse to the bottom left-hand corner, and then you can go back to the start screen. And then as an IT pro using Windows RT, if you are looking for something such as, let's say, PowerShell, just type in power, so that you can launch PowerShell quite immediately. Or if you want to looking for power settings, just go to the settings. So you will see a bunch of options that contains power in it, or files that contains power in it. So it's quite the smooth and fast, and then it enables the keyboard and mouse scenarios as well. And also the shortcut is supported too. So if I click Windows key and D, I can go back to the desktop, and using the Alt and Tab, I can switch between application as you do on the Windows 8 or even with Windows 7. So this is pretty much the user experience. Now, let's go into the blue tiles. Maybe you might be really interested in what's a management story or how to embrace these devices, right? So connectivity to a corporate network. We're going to have the Q&A session later. So when it comes to the connectivity, when we talk to our enterprise customers, basically it will be boiling down to two things. The one is how to enable how to grant the connection to the corporate network over VPN. That's one of the hottest topic. And then the other is how to do so in a secure way. So let's talk about that. The first of all, Windows RT includes the inbox VPN client, which is going to interoperate with servers from Microsoft, Cisco, Checkpoint, or Juniper. So this is a great news. Also, another news is that VPN protocols are exactly the same as those for x86. So it's going to support LTTP, PPTP, SSTP, or IPsec. And as an IT pro, there will be multiple ways of configuring VPN, at least three ways. One is to let end user configure the VPN through the client UX. Basically, they need to go to the control panel and then just follow the wizard. Second way of configuration is to use the PowerShell. So IT can use PowerShell and create a script, and then end user can download the script so that automates the VPN configuration. Maybe the second option would be better than the first one if you want to have an advanced requirement, such as multi-factor authentication, or multi-server VPN, or if you want to implement NAP, network access protection, or IPsec policy. If you have those requirements, maybe you want to use PowerShell. And a third option you might have is using the management on the infrastructure in the cloud. So Mark can go into the details a little bit later, but basically, IT can push out the VPN configuration to the Windows RT client machine. So that's about the VPN connection. So the second topic I would like to talk about is the multi-factor authentication. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have implemented smart card or multi-factor authentication in your organization? Like a 10%? Okay. So maybe smart card can be really cost prohibitive, right? Just publishing or employing the smart card and smart card reader and then dispatch to each employee. Of course, you know the importance of having a security, but of course, cost is another equally important equation. So smart card, we see the similar response. So not many organizations have adopted smart card, but if you have adopted smart cards, good news is that Windows RT supports smart card. But for those who haven't deployed smart card or still figuring out what would be the cost-effective way of implementing smart card, there's a good news, which is virtual smart card. So in short, basically you can use the TPM chip as the smart card. So as I mentioned, TPM chip is included in Windows RT. So you don't have to worry about, okay, whether this device has a TPM chip or not. If you have a Windows RT, TPM chip is there. And then virtual smart card works like this. So basically, your credential, Windows credential, can be associated with the TPM chip. So here's an example. So let's say I'm a bad guy. I'm going to steal your password and then try to get into your corporate network. With the virtual smart card, I can't do that. Why? Because your password is closely associated with the TPM chip of your laptop. So unless I have both your password and also your hardware, I can't get into the corporate network. So virtual smart card is the cost-effective way of, you know, enabling the multi-factor authentication, and Windows RT supports virtual smart card. And then second topic around the management is the data and app access. So as I mentioned, one of the design goals of Windows RT is to provide the clean consumer experience. So in order to achieve that, x86 desktop apps cannot be installed. But so if you're really, really passionate about having the x86 app that you're using on Windows 7 or Windows XP locally, then you will be better served with the Windows 8 x86 system. That's our recommendation. However, you're really attracted to the benefits of Windows RT. At the same time, if you want to run x86-based application, there's a solution, which is remote app. So as some of you might know, remote app is basically the session-based app. So the application are running on the server remotely, but as an end user, it feels like the apps are running locally. The thing is, the apps will be presented to the client side. The benefit is that, of course, you can use the remote apps even on the Windows RT so that you can run the x86 application. Also, it has a good implication in that, because basically you can secure the corporate data, because you can stop flowing the enterprise data from the data center. And also you can ensure that you can abide by the compliance requirements. Let me quickly show how the remote access works. So let's switch back to the Windows RT demo device. So in order to launch the application, first of all, IT department needs to configure the remote apps. And then the second step is that as an end user, just go to the start menu and then click the remote apps. Actually, these three are remote apps, and then I can click this one as an example. Let's open the file. So the way you can tell whether it's running remotely or not is that please take a look at this icon, and you will see this mark. This indicates that it's running remotely. Actually, the connection is already established, so you feel like, wow, is it really remotely, running? It is. But the thing is that if you launch the first application, maybe it could take 3 seconds or 5 seconds. It depends on the network bandwidth, but it could take a while. So you can immediately notice that, okay, it's a remote app. But from the second application, you wouldn't see the difference. So the scenario is that if you, let's say you're running the engineering company and then one of your employees wants to use Windows RT, at the same time, he wants to check how the parts is working or can be viewable from different angle. So he or she can launch this application remotely and then, for instance, rotate this object like this. Or, for instance, you can zoom. Actually, you can use mouse at the same time, finger as well. I'm using finger right now. So it's a kind of heavy the operation, but it works well over the network. So again, there's an option to enable a remote app if you really want to use the x86 application on Windows RT device. So going back to the presentation, so another way of leveraging the data and app access is VDI. So a lot of corporations are employing the virtualization technology such as VDI. in order to mitigate your data leakage risk or reduce the application deployment cost. We have a lot of enhancements in VDI in Windows 8, and then this session is not about the, you know, having a deep dive into the VDI. We will have a dedicated session. But just for the sake of the Windows RT, let me quickly talk about the highlights of the VDI enhancements in Windows 8. The first one is the rich user experience. For instance, Remote FX enables rich multimedia experience that is enabled by the built-in software GPU or the hardware GPU on the server side. Also, if you a lot of Windows RT would support touch, so you want to use touch remotely or through VDI, and it's supported because multi-touch remoting is supported. And also, if you want to use USB devices, it's also supported because USB redirection is enabled in VDI. And another thing is that the ROI of the VDI, for instance, the technology called FairShare increases the system performance by the dynamically distributing the system resources. And also, we have a lot of tools and investments for the efficient management for the IT pro. So good news here is that the full VDI, again, full VDI will be supported in Windows RT. So let's talk about the last topic around security and manageability. The first one is the security. The security investments we're making into the Windows 8 would be inherited into Windows RT. So these are just an example, but secure boot, trusted boot, those are implemented. So fundamentally, basically, it's really secure. And also, it enables the device encryption. So when the OEM ships the Windows RT device, it's already enabled. Device encryption is already enabled. The another layer would be the password or credential management. And also, it comes with the anti-malware. And also, it's supporting NAP, network access protection as well. Also, the IT Pro has an option to provide the governance through EAS, Exchange Active Sync. For instance, you can set the requirements regarding password, like a password complexity, or you can implement picture password or device lock. And also that you can set the picture, password expiration, et cetera. And also another example of EAS control would be multiple EAS accounts. As I mentioned, Windows RT supports multiple user accounts, and then EAS also supports multiple accounts. So you can have granular control as to which user has what type of security or governance settings. The last 2 points is about basically IT Pro has the option to get the report back on the device encryption status. Also, when the Windows RT is the stalling or lost, you have the option to remotely wipe the contents, including calendar, email, or contact list. This can be done by end users too. So now let's switch gears. Toward the management, and then I'm going to hand over to Mark.
Great. Thanks, Hiroshi. So before getting into some specifics around Windows RT and management, I wanted to kind of take a step back and just talk about client management at Microsoft. So throughout the years, you know, we started with some products like SMS that were very focused on controlling devices. And as those products matured, our feature capabilities matured as well. You know, you look at Configuration Manager 2007, you see sort of the addition of some features like desired configuration monitoring, which really provided a way to secure a number of settings. That complemented with a lot of the other capabilities that we had around patch management, just further bolstered our overall portfolio about controlling devices. As we sort of progressed on to Configuration Manager 2012, I wouldn't say completely closed the loop on IT control, but what we really did was add in even some more capabilities around being able to remediate settings, being able to remediate applications, be able to very much control every aspect of the device. But one of the things that we noticed when we were planning Configuration Manager 2012 was that there was this consumerization event, if you will, occurring in the enterprise. So we knew even as part of that product that we couldn't just invest only in just classic controlled scenarios. For example, we knew that end users had this expectation that they should be able to shop for applications. So what we implemented was an application catalog so that end users could go out and pull their own software. So this is really kind of the first, you know, major attempt for us to really go into a new pattern of how to manage end users. We see that also in other management products too, like with Windows Intune Wave C. What you can see is an application shopping experience for iOS and Android devices as well. And that's just further, you know, that's further along this continuum of moving more and more towards trying to enable these new scenarios. So what we did is we kind of took a step back and we tried to really put together, you know, how we think about that, how we want to talk to customers about that. And that's where we came up with this way of talking about it. So what we think about in the past is really sort of that notion of corporate controlled. It's, again, it's products like SMS, Configuration Manager, for the most part, the scenarios that are in those products. Again, it's about securing the device and controlling every aspect of it. Then when we kind of think about these newer scenarios that are coming about, we think about a need for a new management model. And you'll hear us refer to that as governance. And what I'll do in a second here is maybe break down some scenarios to better articulate the differences between those two models. But again, at a high level, it's what I described before about providing more user control and less of trying to control every aspect of the device. The key scenarios that maybe you can use to compare and contrast these two models is you can look at apps, you can look at settings, and you can look at data. So with applications, I've kind of hit on the major one there. It's really moving away from a model in the IT-controlled world of pushing software. You know, I want you, you must have this software, to a model where you're providing software that's more available to an end user so that they can pull it down, that being more in the governance model. When you think about settings management really comes into play for a scenario that Hiroshi mentioned. You know, that's kind of the one that everyone banters around, which is the email one. If you want to get access to corporate email, you need to be able to supply a PIN password. In the IT-controlled world, we would control the entire device, we would understand that it's domain joined, we would understand it's running an anti-malware client. As a result, we felt very safe about what that device is. And as a result, we would allow end users to get access to corporate resources on that device. In more of a governance world, it's more about what is that resource they're looking to access. So for example, if you come back to that email scenario, you have certain expectations that you want that end user to meet or that device to meet in order for them to get access to email. Most of the time, it's a PIN password. So in the governance model, you're really, really focused on managing just what you really care about versus trying to control every aspect of the device. And just to maybe make that scenario a bit richer, when we think about controlling settings on devices for governance, you know, it's not just these sort of higher level set of PIN. We can even go deeper. You know, for example, we can look at, you know, one of the scenarios I like is, I call it bill shock. It's really about a cell bill that can happen at the end of the month, and you don't want to be shocked by what's on that bill. So when you think about the prevalence of, you know, devices like these, tablets, mobile devices that may have metered connections, you know, by that I mean like a 3G, 4G, and et cetera connection that you have to pay for, you know, the last thing you want as an IT administrator is to unknowingly rack up a huge bill. So some capabilities that we've worked on is the ability to, let's say, block BITS, Background Intelligent Transfer Service, so that you're not using that data channel unless you really want to use that data channel over a metered network connection. So the really kind of the point of talking about this, again, is that it's about you really focusing on those sort of scenarios and the settings that you really need to have some control about, and what you're moving away from is really trying to control and more constrained. And that's really at maybe the highest level when you think about settings management is how you're moving more towards is trying not to control every last aspect. Rather, you're trying to constrain what the end user potentially can do or even how the management system might behave on a device in the example with metered connections. And these constraints are important because they, in essence, map back to some policies or some financial responsibility that you might have. And that's why those constraints are important, that you have a way to implement those so that they can be adhered to in a given scenario. And then when you think about data, that ties in directly with, you know, even the email scenario is a good example of that. Which what you're focusing on is not so much trying to, again, secure every aspect of the device so you can feel confident that they can open email or they can download a doc or they can do other things. Rather, you're thinking about, for a given resource, for a given piece of data, What are your security standards for that? And some solutions might fall back to a remote desktop answer. You know, maybe it's a personal device where you have such tight controls over the document that they may want to access that remote applications becomes a wonderful experience for them to get access, and at the same time, you can balance your risk and compliance needs. Or in other situations like email, you can feel safe about them accessing email just with a PIN password or whatever your requirements might be. So those are just kind of three different lenses to really look at sort of this difference between governance and control. There's some other aspects that come out too with this model that we're looking to embrace, and you can see parts of that again with what we're supporting with Configuration Manager 2012 SP1, as well as Windows Wave C. We're starting to support more and more of a heterogeneous environment. And heterogeneous isn't necessarily a statement of, Mac, iOS. It's also a statement of different form factors and different devices and how we sort of be able to bring those devices into work and be able to support those. So how this then relates to Windows ARM is the way we envision seeing Windows RT devices being managed is through a cloud management service. The primary reason for that is that these devices end up being more connected to the internet than they are connected to, traditional sort of Ethernet type of connectivity. In terms of functionality, what we see is the ability to be able to distribute and manage Windows apps, so Windows 8 apps. So very specific to, I think some demos you've seen in keynotes, and I'll demo here in a second here, is that we see sort of a unification view. We want you to be able to manage these Windows 8 apps very similar to how you might manage the Windows 8 apps for x86 devices. We don't want you to necessarily have to use two different tools to be able to manage all your different devices. More of a model of how can you manage your application portfolio all up across all of your different devices that you might have. The other thing to make just sure is important is, as much as we sort of promote a model, again, of self-service, let the end user decide what they have, we do realize that we need to have some rich settings management control so that you can implement the key constraints that are important to you in order to provide access to applications. So again, here's an example is the one Hiroshi used with VPN configurations. So it could be something that's sort of fairly technical that maybe the end user doesn't understand, or they could be settings like a PIN password, which a lot of end users have a nice concept around what that looks like. And as you kind of look, in order to kind of complete that life cycle as well, what's key is making sure we can understand compliance all up. We don't want to just be able to set certain settings. We also need a system where you can understand whether you've been compliant with those settings that you put in place. And kind of last but not least is inventory. We know that if you're going to go deploy, especially like LOB applications or applications that might frankly cost money, you want to be able to inventory those applications. You want to be able to inventory those assets. And one of the things too to just make sure is clear is we're not necessarily approaching this management story simply as a consumer-only solution. Certainly WinRT is a Windows 8 RT is a great platform for sort of a consumer and user experience, but we also see that it's a very valuable platform, which Hiroshi will talk about too, for some certain scenarios that can exist in a business environment as well. So for example, a lot of the functionality that you might want to use it for can be beneficial in certain scenarios like a point, retail point of sales scenario. And then as a result, some of these scenarios that I have up on the up in this PowerPoint right now become more relevant. For example, inventory. If this is an asset that you're sort of treating as a corporate asset because you're using it for retail point of sales, then you're going to want to have some inventory of those devices as well. So again, kind of take last kind of step back before I hop in and show you a demo, is that going forward, we don't see management being either controlled or governed. It's really a statement of, and maybe to go back to the car analogy, it just becomes a statement of, whether you want your Lexus or your Jeep, it's the same thing with management. You're going to have different scenarios, and based on those scenarios, we're looking to provide scenarios that can meet those different needs. And we want to be able to provide you a nice unified experience to achieve those scenarios. So when you think about different scenarios, you might say, I need to be able to, control a WinRT device in certain, situations. For example, it's a retail point of sales machine, so I need to have some understanding of what the inventory looks like. I need to understand kind of, what my compliance looks like on those devices. But you could take a very similar scenario and look at it from a personal lens, and you could say, you know what, for regulatory reasons, I don't even want to know a lot about that device. I don't even want to know about the personal data. The reason I don't want to know about that personal data is it just opens a whole can of worms up that I have to then deal with in terms of regulatory compliance. Some countries have a lot of laws that are in place that can really complicate managing personal devices. So again, it's about picking the right management pattern for the given scenario that you might have. Okay, so I'm going to cut over and show you a demo. Okay, so there we go. So we have here is we're back in the WinRT device. So what I'm going to do is the purpose of this demo is to show you how the end user experience looks. So I'm going to start this with just a scenario that is one around. I'm looking for company apps. So what I can do here in our search experience is be able to just search for company apps. And what you'll notice is that there's this new inbox functionality. And what this allows you to do is enroll a WinRT device. So the kind of advantage of, it's already connected. Great. So I had already enrolled this previously. So that's great. So let me just talk about what that looked like. Sorry about that. Is that it's a simple experience for the end user. You basically put in a credential and a password. So for example, I would have typed in here mark@contoso.com and a password. And then you hit enter. And that's it. Nice, clean, easy experience. Most people understand that because they know how to log into their device. And you know, as a result, that's how it works. But it's fine. So. But what that does is that request goes up to an enrollment server up in the cloud, and that's where the IT administrator can really control who has access to corporate resources. So it's a very simple sort of management model. You can decide which users, which devices you want to provide access into your corporate environment to, and I'll show you what they get access to once they go through this enrollment process. So very simple. Sorry about the glitch. So once that's done, enrolling, what happens is there is a self-service portal that gets installed on a Windows RT device. So I had pre-installed this one I intended to do, simply for the sake of just time in kind of a demo setting. And what this self-service portal does is it really kind of speaks to the needs that an end user might have for their IT department. And this what you're seeing here is really kind of more of a prototype of what we imagine this experience to look like. So maybe the thing to really fixate on is not necessarily the literal, this is what it will look like, but more the concepts that you see here in this demo. So what you can see here at a glance is really just a list of apps based on categories. And that's an important experience for end users to be able to sort of find things like, oh, I need to submit an expense report. I can quickly find this Contoso approval app. And I can install it. Kind of the beauty, again, of that right now it says it will install on your computer shortly. What the beauty of this sort of experience and for the administrator is that application I just clicked install on is literally the same application that I had used in a demo in our configuration manager session on a Windows 8 x86 device. So what's great is you can basically use the same application as Hiroshi mentioned and use that not only on an x86 device, but also a WinRT device. So it greatly kind of simplifies your management story. You have less sort of parts to have to support. So while that's installing, I wanted to show you something else about the apps. So with the apps that we show, it's not always about providing apps that you can literally install. Sometimes what's important is to just be able to provide a sort of single pane for end users to be able to see all the apps that might be sort of recommended by IT. And that's where this example comes in, which is Bing Maps. So with Bing Maps, what you notice is that the installation button no longer exists. What it's changed to is a button that says View in the Windows Store. So the advantage of this is something that we call deep link apps. This really provides an ability for, again, the IT administrator to provide a single list of applications to an end user that they think are relevant for their role. So they can very much just see only the applications that are relevant for their role. So for example, I would see apps that work for a program manager. However, what Hiroshi would see is likely radically different than the view that I would see. And then the second thing of showing this particular aspect of deep links is that as kind of an IT pro, you don't necessarily have to package these apps up. You don't have to distribute the content for them. Rather, all you need to do is provide, in essence, a pointer to the app that exists in the Windows Store, and the end users will be then redirected to the Windows Store to be able to access the app. So that's kind of the story of how we picture apps working. You know, we have some other sort of UI functionality that we find valuable, such as the ability to kind of search and look for categories. But what I wanted to kind of close on is really two key concepts that we have up at the top here. So first is about an understanding of what your devices are and what you can do for those devices, and then I'll close with the IT center. So with my devices, and my name's not Linda, so these aren't quite mine, but what's kind of key here is really kind of maybe touching on some of the functionality that we sort of envision here. So what you can see here is a location of, that's not even my building, but that's the Redmond campus where Linda must reside, and that's going to provide sort of a location awareness, like, oh, I lost my device, how could I see that? So that's sort of a scenario that we see playing out at some point. The other kind of key functionality to talk about this, too, is just the ability to, erase or wipe a device. So what's kind of great about this is it's good for the end user. You know, they can kind of alleviate a lot of panic. They don't have to call help desk and have help desk execute a wipe on a device. So the second they sort of realize, like, oh, I can't believe I lost my device with all that data on it, they can actually log into a self-service experience. And you notice I'm not on the phone right now. I can actually execute a remote wipe on that device. So it's good for the end user. You know, they can kind of get over that anxiety. But it's also great for the IT pro side because you don't have to deal with a help desk call. You can really kind of offload and push more towards a self-service approach, which just kind of just lessens call volume, which is great to keep costs down. So that's kind of how we see devices. And last thing to kind of touch on here, which is again about providing more self-service. Hopefully the intent is to limit the amount of call volume that you might see and support requests you see, is this concept around IT center. So some of the kind of key things we tried to put in here was providing service availability information to an end user that's appropriate for them, being able to provide contact information around IT, be able to provide a lot of the information that we see customers do today on their own internal IT websites, trying to bring that into, again, a unified experience where the end users can really get their key functionality that they expect from IT in terms of client management. How do I get new apps? How do I manage my devices? Something's not working right. Can you hopefully provide me some information so I can maybe deal with it myself? So I'm going to cut back to the PowerPoint. Hiroshi?
Thank you, Mark.
Back to you.
So this is about the management infrastructure in the cloud. And then last component I'd like to talk about in the context of manageability is diagnostics and troubleshooting. So the Windows RT device has the command line tools, including Windows PowerShell. So you as an IT pro can use PowerShell to diagnose and troubleshoot these devices. And then the PowerShell is actually optimized for the supporting an end user scenario. So the scripting languages and then commandlets and management capabilities work the same way as on the other platform. And also .NET scripting is tailored for power and then reliability requirement uniquely required for Windows RT. So this is a good news for IT Pro. Now let's quickly talk about what the other companies are thinking about Windows RT. So as some of you might know, Microsoft has the First Wave program, which is the Windows 8 early adopter program. And then many companies already expressed their interest in leveraging or deploying Windows RT device for their vertical scenarios. I will give you a couple of examples. The first is the airline industries. So this specific company wants to use the CRM application on the Windows RT device for cabin crews. So the scenario is that cabin crews take the Windows RT device and then use those devices for enhancing the customer services, such as tracking the meal preference, seat preference, or checking the passenger list, or keeping track of any complaints they would get. And then one of the reasons why they really care about Windows RT is basically twofold. One is long battery life. So they have a long flight, and then they want to use, keep using the device for a long time. That's the first requirement. And then second requirement is about aesthetics. So they want to use Windows RT in front of the like a frequently flyer flyers or you know high value customers. So they care about the aesthetics of the device. The other example is, for instance, telecom industry. So they're thinking about enabling job management app for the field-based engineers. Basically, this app would provide the job list and map directions or coworkers' location, and then basically it runs the test, line test, as well as managing the job list. And then they're looking for a ruggedized tablet for this specific scenario. The another scenario is the retail or restaurant. So this app for managers. So managers want to capture the service time, for instance, from the front counter to drive-through service, and then they want to report back those data to the corporate backend. The another example is oil and gas. So they want to use rig count app, and basically it provides the view of the map of the rig, and then basically people can search and get directions and then get the greater details of the oil rigs. So these are one of the examples from the real customers. And then in wrapping this session, I would like to land basically three messages. The first one is that Windows RT is primarily designed for a consumer device. So providing a clean and pristine user experience, that's the first thing. The second thing is that as an organization or as an IT, if your employees want to bring Windows RT device to your organization, there is a way to embrace those devices. Those are the two second message. And the third message is that vertical or the specialized scenario, whether customer-facing job or field engineers or CRM application that we talk about, if you think that these Windows RT device would be fit into those scenarios, this will be beautiful because you have a management tool as well as it provides the great experience for your employees. In deciding what type of criteria you might want to employ in deciding x86 or Windows RT or different types of form factors, here's a kind of recommendation from our end as to what kind of criteria you might want to consider. Of course, hardware, like a different hardware form factor, size and weight, et cetera. There will be a variety of devices coming from Windows RT side as well as x86. And then the second and third component would be really critical because depending on the scenario, you need to decide how much user flexibility you want to grant. At the same time, you want to assess how much important would it be to having the consistent and predictable experience over time. And also, Mark talked about the manageability, but the manageability in the Windows RT context can be a little bit different from that of x86. So I would encourage you to assess whether your scenarios meet the Windows RT requirements, and also whether the management infrastructure or the security or the connectivity that is built into Windows RT meets your expectation. If not, x86 would be a great option, but if it does, yeah, you have a new opportunity or new scenarios that is opened up by Windows RT. So here are the resources. And then another resource, Springboard is a great resource to understand these technologies. Download Windows 8. Sounds like majority of you have done already. And here's additional resources. And then please complete the evaluation. For this session, official Q&A is not scheduled, but we're more than happy to talk with you. So if you have any questions or suggestions, please come to the stage area after the session. And thanks again for coming, and enjoy the rest of the show.